This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And they don't have a co-host actually right this second, but I expect to have one sometime in the next 5 minutes. Tommaso Bonbon will be here. Actually, he's coming in now. I'm just hearing. So anyway, we're on an open show. Open show means that you, the listener, get to be the guest if you'd like to. You can just call in at 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and be the guest and determine the direction of our show tonight. You can talk about anything you'd like. You want to talk about insurances? We can talk about insurances. You want to talk about Social Security? We can talk about Social Security. I was just teaching a seminar to the Harford County Police Department this afternoon. And if you want to talk about retirement planning, we can talk about retirement planning. Medicare, if you want to talk about it. If you want to talk about Medigap insurance, we can talk about that. If you want to talk about your 401k, we can talk. If it deals with your personal finances, we can deal with it. And remember, the beauty of a firm like ours is we're a fee-only financial advisory firm. We don't take commissions or referral fees. We strictly work for the power of our advice that we give, and that's why we do this show, is to demonstrate what we believe a professional financial advisor should be, as conflict-free as possible, not working for brokerage firms, insurance companies, or banks, but working strictly for the client and working on the power of the advice that they give, be it tax planning, estate planning, acting as a general practitioner in medicine. We act as a general practitioner in personal finances. Just like you don't want your general practitioner telling you you need Lipitor and then making $5 a month off of you taking Lipitor, or sending you over to get an operation and making another $3,000 for referring you to the operation. We work the same way in a fiduciary capacity. And again, that's why we do this show, to demonstrate the knowledge that a professional financial advisor should demonstrate on a day-to-day basis with their clients. And so our phone number here is 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And Debbie is smart because she called in early, so she's going to get the most time to answer her question. Debbie, how can we help you?
Hi, I have been wondering for a while now if it makes sense for my husband to file for Social Security in about a year at 62, but keep working until he's 67.
Unlikely. So you and your husband are both born after January 2nd, 1954. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, first off, if your husband makes more than, I don't know the exact number, but it's about $16,700. If he makes more than that, every dollar he makes more than that, he's going to lose $1 for every $2 that he earns in income against his Social Security. So, let's say he makes $40,000. So, let's call that $23,000 more than that approximately $17,000. So $23,000 divided by 2 would be $11,500. So he would lose $11,500 of his dollars that he made at age 62. And so if you're getting $21,500, you'd only end up with a net 10 at the end of the year. Now, he will get it back when he turns 66. His benefit will be increased a little because he got penalized technically for that. But why would you discount yourself at 62 if he's still working? The logic behind that is normally never economically advantageous. There are always unique things that happen in a person, but normally you want to wait as long as possible, especially if you're already working.
Debbie, is there a reason you want him to claim early?
Well, we were thinking about it because he happens to work for a company that matches his 401k literally at 50%. So if we could max out 24 grand a year, they would give him another 12. I didn't know the number, so I didn't know if that made sense even in that situation.
Well, that's an interesting company that actually gives a full match up to 50% of everything you put in, even if it's up to the max. But the problem is how much does he make in general? 30, 40, 50, 60, 80?
60.
So he's going to lose at least $22,000, $1 for every $2 of his Social Security benefit. Now, here's the good news, Debbie. When he turns his full retirement age, the year he turns his full retirement age, he can actually earn up to $44,000. So you could start early in that year, and let's say he doesn't turn 66 until November of 2022. Let's just use that year. You could actually start in January of 22, and he would not be penalized hardly at all. And if they still are matching at that, that would work out pretty well for him.
Okay.
And who's the higher earner in your family?
My husband.
Yeah. So you want him to wait as long as possible, but those are some good questions that Tom's asking there. And but that really rounds out that I can't, you know, even though I understand what you're trying to accomplish, I don't think it's going to actually work for you because they're going to take one for two away from you.
Okay, that is what I needed to know.
Thank you. All right, Debbie, you take care.
Can I ask you one quick follow-up?
Go ahead, real quick.
My husband has a friend who's 65. Should he be filing early to be a part of that group that's born before, I don't know what year you said?
January 2nd, 1954. Now, is he married or was he married before and divorced after 10 years of marriage?
Yes, and he's actually widowed now.
Oh, well, then he has many strategies. Did his widow work and have a Social Security account of their own?
He did.
So he can go in and claim Social Security immediately against that survivor pension. He should do that immediately and let his own benefit continue to grow until he's 70. You don't even have to worry. This is even a better strategy than so he wants to go in and claim against that spouse that died and then let his own benefit grow to age 70. That's the slam dunk decision on his situation. He should be applying as soon as possible.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are exceptions, you know, like if he isn't in his full retirement year yet, he could lose $1 for every two, but you know, 65, he's got to be darn close.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got to take a pause with traffic. We're going to be right back with our listeners. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. This is for business owners and presidents of companies listening today. If you have a 401k in your company, then let me warn you that lawyers are hunting for you with good reason. 401k plans with less than 1,000 employees have been built around revenue sharing, or in my words, commissions. The Department of Labor has opened a door for lawyers to sue you on behalf of employees unhappy with excessive fees in the plan. They are correct, but the funny thing is the business owner has normally the majority of the money in the plan. You need a great plan for you and your employees, for everyone's retirement is dependent on it. We do a 401k review of your plan to help determine how to develop the best possible commission-free plan and keep the plan current. Call 410-823-SAVE, that's 410-823-SAVE, to schedule your 401k review. Everyone's retirement is dependent on it, so call 410-823-SAVE. Eagles. I was close.
Well, you hit a nerve there, Drew. We got a bunch of calls on Social Security.
That's true. I guess it's a Social Security night, but we also have an HSA call. We'll get to them once we go through the callers in order. Carlos in Cadenceville, how can we help you?
Yes, I have a question about my mother's Social Security check.
Okay.
My mother passed away on April 1st, 2018, about 18 days ago. And her Social Security check was received on April the 3rd,
okay,
days after she passed away. Now, I called Social Security to let them know that my mother passed away so that they wouldn't send any more checks. And now they told me, I called twice, and they told me that that check has to go back to Social Security. And then I spoke to the bank where the check was being deposited, and they told me that that is not true. The check doesn't have to go back to Social Security. So I called for the third time. I called to the bank, and I talked to the bank manager, and he got in touch with the State Department and this bank, And the gentleman was told that they got in touch with Social Security, and they say that the check doesn't have to go back to Social Security. And then this afternoon, I called Social Security for the third time, and I spoke to a lady there, an agent, and she told the check doesn't have to go back to Social Security, that because my name is on her checking account, I can write a check to myself for the amount. What is your opinion?
I hate. Do you have anything on that, Tom? I know Social Security has a law that there's if the person was alive, is it just one day or is it more than one day?
Yeah. So the benefits you get, the way I understand the law and what I'm reading, is that when you get the April check on April the 3rd, that was actually for March, and so the fact that she was alive and passed on April 1st, I would agree with that bank manager that the April 3rd check is yours, and like you said, you called them to not get the May 3rd check. I think you're in the clear, according to what I'm reading, on the actual Social Security website.
So I can safely... My concern is, that when you deal with a bureaucracy like this, it takes them months to...
I'll tell you what, Carlos. Are you going to be listening for a while?
Yes, I will.
Okay. I'll call Jack Friel or Linda Hamill, and we'll get their opinion for you. All right?
Yep.
And they'll hit it, and they're great, okay?
I will hang up now, and I will listen to your show on the radio.
I kind of agree with Tom that because they were alive every day of March, the April check is yours. Now, my father died on April 26th, and then they made a May 3rd payment to him, and we had to give it back because he didn't live the entire month, is what I the way I understood it.
Yep.
But I'll ask Jack or Linda, and we'll get back to you. All right?
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Now none of the Social Security people are all going to hang up saying, "What the heck is he now?" Bob in Hamilton, how can we help you?
Hi, guys. I turned 66 in November of last year.
Okay.
I'm still working. I'm wondering, can I start taking Social Security and continue full-time working?
Are you married?
No.
Have you ever been married?
Years ago.
Were you married for more than 10 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. Then I would do, here's just what I would do, Bob, is I would go into Social Security and say I was married for 10 years to whatever the person's name is, and I'd say, I'm now 66, and I want to take half of her benefit. And they'll give it to you. They'll give you half of her benefit for free. You can take it. No penalty, no give back at all. And your benefit will continue to grow to that maximum amount at age 70. So, in essence, it's free money for 4 years. And that's assuming she worked. Did she work?
Yes, she did.
Okay. And after you guys probably got divorced, you probably worked even more and probably earned a nice benefit. So you could.
True. But now I got married once since then for 6 years.
But when did you and that person get divorced?
The first person?
The second person.
The second person. Oh, boy, 2002 or something maybe?
But it was well before you were 62 years of age, right?
Right.
Yeah. So as long as you're not getting married now, that's all that matters. Go in, tell them you were married to somebody for more than 10 years, you want to take half of their benefits. It doesn't affect them at all. They could your spouse could be, your ex-spouse could be remarried and collecting Social Security and da-da-da-da-da, and it doesn't mean anything to them, you going in and claiming off of them. And you do that for 4 years for free, and you can do that right now. And so I would do it tomorrow if I were you.
Yeah. What if she's dead?
Then it's even, I don't want to say it's even better. You don't get half. You get the whole thing that she would have gotten until you're 70 years of age.
Wow.
So let's say she was going to get $2,000 a month, and she's passed away. You'll get that full $2,000 a month for 4 years until you turn 70, and then you'll flip to your own benefit, and it'll grow another 30%. And if she's alive, then you'll get just half of her $2,000 a month. You might get $1,000 a month.
Wow.
So it's a great deal.
This is the best news I've heard in, who knows, a long time.
You just have to be able to show that you were married for 10 years. That's it.
Okay.
All right, buddy?
All right. Thanks so much.
Take care. and we're going to Tom in Columbia. How can we help you?
Well, hello, guys. This is maybe along the same line. So I had the good fortune of marrying a woman who makes more than me. So
okay.
And so, she is now 66.
Right.
And I will be 66 in August.
Who?
She turned 66 last year.
Is she still working, Tom?
She's not working, but I still am. And so I'll be 66, like I say, in August. Now, we're not taking Social Security right now.
Neither one of you?
Right, neither one of us. And from what
okay.
I'm hearing, we ought to get off our butts.
Here's what you're going to get off your butts to do, okay? You ready, Tom?
Yes, sir.
So you're going to go in and you're going to apply for Social Security as soon as possible. You can go in any time, now or tomorrow. When did you say you turned 66?
In August.
Okay, but you could go in now. You can go in May and claim Social Security. Are you still working?
Yes, I am.
But that's okay. You're turning 66 this year, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
So you're going to go in and claim Social Security right now. But she's already 66, so she's going to go in right with you, and she's going to say to them, after he applies for Social Security, I want to take half of Tom's Social Security and let my own Social Security grow until I'm 70 years of age, and then your wife will go back in at 70 and say, okay, now give me my own, and then you will just continue to collect yours. It's a great strategy for the two of you.
So when she starts to collect it, let's say age 70, I don't take half of hers, I'll just keep
No,
it
you're going to just keep yours more than likely. But when she goes in and applies, you do want to go back and ask if half of hers is more than your own benefit. Unlikely it's not. It's very unlikely that it will be.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, that thing that they, you know, mail on out, you know, every
right.
year. So that's showing that my benefit will be less now than half of hers.
Okay, well, then if that's true, you will go back at 70, and you'll say, if half of hers is even more, then give me that also. But remember, right now, you apply, she applies for half of yours right now. And
wow.
she will collect half of yours until you turn 70, or until she turns 70, and then she'll collect her own benefit, which will have grown another 30%, and then you'll go in with her and say, and by the way, if hers is more than half of hers is more than my own, then give me that half. All right, buddy, I got to run.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Mm-hmm. We'll take it on down there. Thank you.
All right, you take care. I got to take a pause. I'm going to be right back with Steve on HSA. Does anybody else want to get online for an open show? 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Many of you listened to our show for years and thought about coming to meet with us. With every financial physical I do, I wish you would not wait any longer. The mistakes I consistently see are frustrating. I make this offer. Just do a financial physical, and we'll do the complete analysis in two meetings, and you get to go home with the full plan to determine if the physical was worth the cost. If not, absolutely no charge. We do not sell products. We are comprehensive advisors. If your personal finances are in good shape and we add no value, then the financial physical is free. Do not wait. Get a second opinion and just do a financial physical. I am confident you are going to experience something unique and change your tax plan, your retirement plan, your investments, and much more. Call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE to schedule your physical. Or go online to DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
Love and Spoonful. There you go.
Time is tight.
Yeah. Good point. Chris, I can't tell you how much I get educated on music by you. You know? Unbelievable. Anyway, Steve in Pikesville, how can I help you? Steve.
Hi. Yep, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a question about HSA reimbursement.
Go ahead.
So we're on my wife's health care plan through her employer.
Okay.
And then she switched jobs, and it made more sense to use my health care plan through my employer.
Right.
So I was just wondering, we had a lot of unreimbursed expenses that we incurred while we were on her plan. Am I allowed to reimburse using the new HSA that's under my name from those old expenses?
So are the bills coming in now?
No, they were paid already. They just weren't reimbursed from the HSA yet.
Did you have an HSA at the time those bills were incurred?
We had, the HSA we had was under her name, and then now we have a different HSA under my name.
Okay, so, you know, as long as you had an HSA, a high deductible health plan, if you still have bills outstanding that were... Now, I'm wondering, though, Tom, that's an interesting question. The bills were incurred when it was under her plan, and they still have bills that weren't paid through her HSA. Now he has an HSA, and, you know, the answer to that is I think he can still use the plan because her plan was eligible to be used by him or her. His plan will now be able to be used by him or her.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. They had a high deductible plan before. I don't think there's anything to stop you from using the plan for those unreimbursed bills still.
Because what you're saying, Steve, is maybe you had a dollar in her HSA plan, you incurred $1,000 of expenses. Now you have $1,000 that you've put in subsequently into your plan, and you want to know if you can go back and pay that $1,000 of expenses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think you can, because the reason is that she was under a high deductible plan, and when she put money into the plan, it covered both you and her and any children you have that's on your tax return. And now that you have the plan, it covers her and you and any children on the plan. And I don't believe that there's anything to stop you from reimbursing those plan those expenses still, too. All right?
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, buddy. Good question. Interesting. Carlos, answer Carlos's question, Tom.
Yeah, so Carlos was asking about his mom, who passed away on April the 1st and received a check on April the 3rd. And so we did call a friend. Linda Hamill from Social Security, and yes, Carlos, you can keep that check and use it for, you know, process it through the estate like you would, maybe
and
pay
the,
bills
the
and the like.
The reason was that
she was alive for the entire month of March.
Yeah, so if she died on March 31st, he would have had to give the check
back. Exactly.
But because she died on April 1st, he gets to keep the whole check.
Because the April 3rd check was for March. They're a month behind in terms of the payments.
And so, that's the little trick that I couldn't remember, and that is you have to be alive
the entire month.
And being April 1st, it's a no-brainer there.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going on to Steve in Bel Air. How can we help you, Steve?
Yes. I had a question about the Social Security. Right now, I've been a widow for 7 years, and my children received my wife's Social Security.
How old are you, Steve?
I'm 51.
Okay.
So I was curious, when they come off of her Social Security, later down the years, would I be able to collect it?
You'll be able to collect it at age 60.
At age 60, okay.
But if you're still working, you'll lose one for $2 for every earned income you make by collecting it at 60. You'd be best to wait until you're 66 to collect it. Leave your own benefit behind, let it grow to 70, and then collect your own benefit at 70.
Okay, so you're saying wait till 66 to start collecting hers.
Well, that's only, Steve, if you're going to continue to work. Are you going to continue to work to 66?
Well, it looks like that way in life right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're going to continue to work to age 66 or 67, actually, is your full retirement age, 67, you'd want to wait. And then at 67 or 66, you can retire. You could retire at 66. You don't have to wait till 67. You could retire. You could take your Social Security on your wife's account, let your own benefit to grow 4 more years, and then at 70, go back in and claim your own, and you'll get a 30% boost in yours.
Sounds good.
That's the strategy you
would
use.
What if Steve's tempted or runs into love between now and then?
One thing, Steve, you don't want to do is get married. You can, you know, live in with somebody for a while, but you do not want to get married before age 60, because if you get married before age 60, all this is out.
Okay.
And don't ask me why the rules are like that, but if you wait until 60 in one day, you can still do this and get remarried. But if you wait until 59 in one day, you can't. Or 364
days.
You can't. All right?
I understand. Thank you.
All right. You know, and it's interesting. We had a client that got married. He was going to get married at 58 and a half. They put the wedding off until 60 and a half, and at 60 and a half, the two of them got married, and it was very important that they do that. We're going to Al in Perry Hall. How can we help you, Al?
I applied about a month ago for a secret shopper job and never heard anything from them. Then recently received by priority mail, U.S. mail, a cashier's check for $7,520. What the heck is this about? I never did any work for them. And getting like daily emails. When are you going to cash your check?
Well, and on the check, there's probably some fine print that says when you cash it.
Your firstborn child's going to them or something. I don't know.
Your left arm.
That's a new one on me, Al.
I think I'll go to the post office first and just say.
Is there anything on the check?
I looked for fine print, but I didn't get out my magnifying glass. So maybe I have to look.
Were there any documents that you did before in the past or anything?
No. It was just application on Craigslist, I think.
Well, the application could be the legal contract. If you cash that check, that could be the binding thing of that application on Craigslist.
Yeah.
So I responded to the email. You know, what is this? What's the purpose of this check? And whatnot. You know, the emails are when you're going to cash or deposit this. So I'm thinking maybe they can, you know, swim upstream into my account or something.
Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting one, Al. I'd be very suspicious like you are.
Yes.
So
I'll take it to the postal inspector next.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye, Drew.
That's a good, you know, that's an excellent point that he just made, postal inspector, because they mailed that check through the mail. If there is a scam going on, the postal inspector would like to know about
it. Yeah, they could deal with that.
We're at the 644. I got to take a pause with traffic. I'll be right back with all you. Social Security. They all want to talk Social Security. Anyway, 410-922-6680 if you want to call and get online right now. We're going to traffic. This is another one of those, Chris, where it's so easy that it's not even worth humoring you with a response. So I'm going onward. I got people to talk to and don't even think that, you know. Anyway, Terry in Sykesville, how can we help you?
Yeah, hi. Your discussion a couple callers back about spouses claiming Social Security benefits on their spouse.
Yep.
I have a different kind of a question. So I've been married almost 40 years, and my wife, once we got married, virtually stopped working and has worked very little outside the home since then. So I always thought that she wouldn't get much in the way of Social Security benefits. But this, what you were saying about claiming half of your spouse's made me wonder.
How? When were you and your wife born? What year? What year is all I'm asking?
We're the same age, both born in 1954.
Both?
We're 63.
You're both born in 1954, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's disappointing because, you know, the new law says that if you were born after January 2nd, 1954, unless one of you was a New Year's baby, there's nothing that you can do. But here's what I would do if I were you. Your spouse that hasn't worked and has a very small benefit should just go in and claim her own benefit right away, okay? So let's say it's $600 a month. Okay, so she gets $600 a month. And then when you do fully retire, okay, whether it's 66 or 70, whatever, you would go in and claim your benefit, possibly, all right? And then your spouse would go in with you and ask for half of yours, and she would be discounted for the $600 a month that she's already claimed, but she would pick up the rest of your 50% of your full retirement benefit without any discount. So, you know, it's sort of free money for you right now. You might as well take it.
Okay. should wait for her. She
should go in and claim her own benefit now.
That's assuming she has a benefit.
Well, she does. He said it that she worked a little and she has a benefit, right, Terry? She gets the statement saying there is something. What is it? $500-$600 a month?
I don't know. We haven't even looked at it in years. But,
yeah, my wife has the same thing. My wife, when she turned 62, we sent her in to go get her benefit because it's only like $500 a month. And so she's collecting. And when I ultimately do collect, which for me won't be until I'm 70, she'll then be able to take half of mine. All right?
Excellent. Well, I didn't know about that half thing, so that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. You take care. I'm going to Ben in Towson. How can we help you, Ben?
Hi, how are y'all?
Good.
Great.
I have a question actually for a friend of mine. She's 62 years old. Her husband is not working. Her husband is already retired, but he's not collecting Social Security. He's on SSI. The problem is she has a hard time working. And, the question was if she should apply for disability. However, the income wouldn't be enough for them to live because she's supporting the whole family right now. The question was if she retires early at age 62, can she still continue to work part-time or full-time and collect his 62-year-old benefits or security benefit as well?
So if she goes in and collects her own retirement Social Security, at 62, she would be able to continue to work, but she'd only be able to make up to about $16,000 or $17,000 before they'd start taking $1 for every $2 from her. But when she turns 66, she can earn as much money as she wants without any discount if she continues to work. Now, here's the problem, though, Ben. If she stops working or if she starts collecting Social Security as a retirement Social Security, but she's really disabled, she would be better off claiming Social Security disability and getting her full retirement benefit at age 62. But here's your dilemma. Your dilemma is, like you said, that isn't enough for the two of them to live on. Now, here's your real dilemma is that if she claims SSDI, she can't continue to work. She can only make like $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 without being penalized, unless she wants to go into a
WOTC, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. You're on SSDI, and they're going to let you earn some money to see if you can get back to work, but in the interim, they're going to continue to pay your SSDI. That's a tough spot that the two of them are in. But, if she collects at 62, she's going to discount her Social Security for life.
That's true. However, let me ask you this. She hasn't been working for 40 years. So every year that she earns money, even if she retires early, every year that she earns money, assuming $10,000, $12,000 a year, that should go in the calculation to increase.
That is true. That will increase because the Social Security calculation is done on your top 35. So if 35 years and 20 of them are zeros, then every $10,000-$15,000 you put in there is a bonus to her. So, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if she collects at 62 and continues to make, let's say, $16,000-$17,000 a year, that will continue to increase her benefit some, but it's still going to be discounted to some degree. So always keep that in mind, all right?
Sure. And one other quick question. What about Medicare? She cannot apply for Medicare by any chance, can she?
She can apply for Medicare if she goes on SSDI. So if she goes on SSDI, she can get on Medicare. If she doesn't, she's got to wait until she's 65.
I see.
All right, buddy?
Okay. Fine,
good
question. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's a real tough place to be. Yep. Jim in Glen Burnie, how can we help you?
I've been married 28 years. It took three women to do it. I got one foot in a grave and one in a banana peel. Do all three of these get my benefits?
Only the ones you were married to for 10 years or more. Were you married to any of them for 10 years or more other than the last one?
Yes.
They can all get it, but it doesn't affect you and it doesn't affect your current spouse at all. If all your exes go in and collect off of your benefit, it has no impact on you. It's only you, your spouse and any dependent children that are still on your Social Security that would affect your benefit.
Thank you much.
All right, buddy. Take care. Shelley in Reisterstown, how can we help you?
Hi. My husband's going to turn 66 in July.
Okay.
And I will be 66 in November. We're both in 53. Okay. So
who has the higher benefit, you or him?
He would.
He would. So you're going to go in and you're going to claim Social Security as soon as possible, and then he's going to go in and claim Social Security, but he's going to not take his own. He wants to claim against you. He's going to get half of yours, and he's going to let his benefit continue to grow to age 70, and then at age 70, he'll go back in and claim his own benefit.
Wow, that's great. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
There's always exceptions to what I'm talking about, so, you know, take that and make sure you thoroughly analyze it, and don't sit down with the Social Security people and expect them to do it. You got to make sure you get some good, sound advice on that, all right?
Got it.
All right. We got to run through one more. Walter in Dundalk, how can we help you?
Yeah, well, I have a couple of questions. Number one, the first one is it's not about Social Security. When you give something to somebody, you know, like I think about 3 or 4 years ago, you could give $12,500.
It's 15 now.
Pardon me?
It's 15,000 now.
Okay, but how does that work? I mean, the giver and the receiver. The receiver doesn't have to declare it?
This is the number one misunderstood thing in all of taxes, okay, Walter? You can give as much money as you want, and there's no income tax consequence. If you give me $25,000 or $50,000, or you give your children $100,000, there's no income tax issue between you and the receiver of that money.
Okay.
The $15,000 has to do with the gift and estate tax laws, which is for very, very, very rich people. So if you tell me you're worth more than $10 million, then we've got an issue to talk about. But if you're not, it has no issue whatsoever with income taxes. And I'm out of time. If you want to hold on, I'll answer more of your question off the air.
I'll hold on. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You hold on.
Yeah.
Can you take that for me, Chris? All right. We're running out of time here, so I'm going to...
Well, a lot of good questions on Social Security tonight.
That means we got to have somebody on in Social Security that really knows what they're talking about, not just me.
We know what we're talking about, Drew. Yeah.
Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.